In WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump signing off to dismantle the Department of Education, directing his education secretary, Linda McMahon, to shutter the agency, except for critical programs, including Pell Grants.
We're going to be returning education, very simply, back to the states where it belongs. And this is a very popular thing to do, but much more importantly, it's a common sense thing to do.
Critics say it will impact underserved students and schools. The White House says it will save money. ABC's Selena Wang says Congress will get the final say.
Well, the president's goal is to completely get rid of the Department of Education, but that requires an act of Congress. So what this executive order does is it directs his education secretary to do everything within the legal limits of her power to gut this agency, to diminish it as much as possible.
Curriculum decisions are already made at the local and state levels. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Skipping school could mean breaking the law once again in Appleton. The Appleton Area School District is asking the city to consider reintroducing a truancy law. Superintendent Greg Hartjes told the Appleton Common Council that the district is facing chronic absenteeism. He said in the last year, over 1,000 students missed 18 or more school days, and almost 300 of them missed more than 50 days last year. Hartjes says they don't want to go back to the days of punitive measures and truancy court. The district had that until 2019 when the law was repealed.
We have no interest in punitive measures other than whatever will get a student to engage. We need something to reach students who currently just simply aren't coming to school.
The Appleton Common Council took no action on the issue. If it reintroduces a truancy law for the city, it will be at a future Common Council meeting. The public transportation system in Oshkosh, GO Transit, is reducing its paratransit hours. The paratransit system, known as GO Plus, will be available Monday through Saturday from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. till 3 p.m. starting April 1st. This eliminates its current 24/7 availability. Officials say the change will allow them to have more drivers during peak service hours. Paratransit provides door-to-door transportation for people with disabilities who can't use regular public transportation. Paul Bunyan would be mighty proud of what's going on in the Brew City. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Construction has kicked off on a groundbreaking skyscraper in downtown Milwaukee. It's a 31-story mass timber building called the Edison. The wooden Goliath is set to claim the title of North America's tallest timber tower. The project will use over 100,000 cubic feet of lumber.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
A Badgers win in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a victory today over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell leading scoring with 19 points. Stephen Crowell, 18. John Tanjay had 15 in all five Badgers players with double-digit points. Up next, they face the winner of Brigham Young against Virginia Commonwealth University on Saturday. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. It still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Looking mostly cloudy for tomorrow, maybe a shower or two in the afternoon, highs to the upper 40s. Then we're back into sun Saturday, cooler, highs upper 30s to 40. Rain and snow possible Sunday. Right now it's 33.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Barry Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like, I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue on location from Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll have the general manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee, and host of Those Were the Days. And look at our brackets. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Albaugh Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. You can also be a big part. Love it when you join us. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess B.S. working hard on the board. And our pal, Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. You can hear his fine program Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. right here in the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl, thank you for sticking around. And don't forget, folks, the last segment of the day, tell us something good. You got to end the show with a smile on our face. Oh, Jess.
You gotta.
We talked about some heavy things. Sometimes we like to end it with a little cherry on top. So tell us something good in the last hour. In the last hour, we're discussing primarily the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Susan Crawford going up against the guy who's dumb as a sack of hammers, Brad Schimmel, and some of our audience wanted to continue that conversation, and we will shortly here. We'll take your calls and your texts as well. And then we have to get to some of the news of the day. Of course, there's an executive order being signed by President Trump with an attempt to eliminate the Department of Education. We're going to go there as well. Plus, the Dem Party, the resistance, the leadership, where are we at? Who's doing what? I did see on the Chiron here, MSNBC, Bernie Sanders and AOC launched a Fight in the Oligarchy tour. Well, they're out doing something. Should more be done and by whom? I want to get your thoughts on that as well. 855-752-4842. But let's wrap up the conversation on just Judge Susan Crawford versus Brad Schimmel. Chris from Sun Prairie, you are patient. Thank you so much. Let us know what your thoughts are. Chris, welcome.
Hi, Dom. Hi, Earl. Well, something good. I was coming home from the Labor Temple where I was doing phone calls for Susan Crawford.
Oh, nice.
To get out the vote. And what I wanted to say was when I tuned in on the radio, I heard a lot of the other guy's name. And I really want to encourage people to use the name Susan Crawford as often as they can because the name Susan Crawford is not getting out there enough. We need people to know that name when they go into the voting booth. We need them to remember Susan Crawford, not the other guy. And we need to remember that Susan Crawford will legislate. She will look at the legislature's legislation and make sure that it meets constitutional muster. We're not looking at somebody who's a rubber stamp for the Republican Party. And I think that that's the huge difference between her and the other guy. And I really, really wish people would stop talking about the other guy because I see the other guy's name all over everything. And I think we have to stop promoting him. And I think we need to say Susan Crawford is awesome.
Chris, hang on. Now, when Susan Crawford starts saying dumbass things all the time, I'll play much more of Susan Crawford. But the fact that I'm saying Brad Schimmel's name is not an endorsement or an acknowledgement of his superior intellect. The guy's a moron. and he can't keep his mouth shut. And he says terrible things. And I want to remind people over and over again that that's who that guy is. So while I get what you're saying, and I'd love to play some more Susan Crawford. And as soon as I get some of that sound of her, you know, calling Republicans on the Wisconsin Supreme Court names, or as soon as I hear her about, you know, spending thousands and thousands of dollars of money on stupid coins called kicking ass every day, you know, those kinds of things. When I get clips of her talking about buying knee pads, begging for money from people, I'd be happy to do that. But right now, I'm playing those clips because I'm being very critical of that guy.
Well, maybe that's what you're doing, but I'm talking about campaigns. If somebody's campaigning something or if they're wanting to sell something, what you need is name recognition. Name recognition is what's going to get Susan Crawford elected. And I don't think I'm seeing enough name recognition from the campaigns. The campaigns put the other guy's name out as much as they put out Susan Crawford's name. Every time you put out a piece of campaign literature with your competition's name on it, you're negating the dollars that you're spending on your
own. But Chris,
candidate.
We got the Musk. That Musk front organization is putting all sorts of Susan Crawford out. So does that count?
I'm talking about the people that are trying to support Susan Crawford.
Yeah, I got you.
Should not be putting out the name of the other guy. I think that it's a very stupid way to spend your dollars. I think that to spend your dollars for your candidate, you should put your candidate's name out. We had Professor Lakoff come at one of our grassroots festivals, and he told us that what we did in the Walker campaign was we raised Scott Walker to the national level. We made this guy a national level celebrity by putting his name all over everything. And I'm just cautioning the people of Wisconsin about how they're utilizing the names of other candidates and they're raising them. And I really don't care about the dollars that are spent on anybody's shows. I'm sorry, Dom. I know that you have to think about that. But
I don't think about it, Chris. It's not something I think about. Thank you. I get your point. I do. And certainly those that are supporters should be promoting their candidate and, you know, perhaps more promotion of their candidate and less tearing down of the opponent. Yeah, I mean, I get that point. From the dollars being spent, no, that is not something that crosses Dominic's mind whatsoever. I know that used to be a thing for some folks, not me. I'll let the folks who are in charge of that worry about that, and I'll worry about me and on how I'm going to present these different candidates. And again, I'm obviously being very critical of Schimmel. And I hear what you're saying, and there's only going to be two of them on the ballot, man. I would also suggest that if people are really not knowing who they're going to vote for, and they hear constant bad things about Brad Schimmel, because it's true, you know what I mean? They'll be like, oh, I'm not voting for that guy. I'm voting for the other person. So thank you for the call, Chris. Always appreciate it. I know you are a true believer, and you actually get out there and do the work, and we certainly appreciate you doing so and providing your opinion today. Earl, what are your thoughts, man?
Well, man, I agree with you. I mean, you know, if I have to be concerned when I'm doing the show and I'm talking about, you know, who Brad Schimmel is, I don't think the fact that I'm mentioning his name, I'm going to influence somebody who's looking to vote for the other person. Clearly, hey, man, people know who Brad Schimmel is. All you have to do is watch the part of the $100 million of commercials that you get to see. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every just nonstop, sometimes repeatedly. People know the names, right? And if they don't know the names, that they're woefully misinformed. And by now, Dominic, we're talking a couple of weeks before the election.
Yeah, man.
You know, I don't think. And I understand. I know Chris. I know her well. Her and her husband work really hard, man.
They do.
They really are people who labor and believe in it. And man, they're great fighters. So I'm not going to say anything negative about it.
No, absolutely not. I always appreciate Chris's opinion. It's usually very informed, more informed than mine. So, hell,
yep.
I've learned a lot from Chris and Jerry over the years. So certainly.
I love that mentality.
What's that?
I love that mentality.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, folks. 855-752-4842. Let's keep going on the lines. Ollie from the Northwoods, you will be next. Welcome to the show. Ollie, what do you think?
I just wanted to say that I on the news, when they played the news, there was a voice of Donald Trump saying how he was signing the papers to disassemble the Department of Education, and he was thereby sending that responsibility back to the states. Mm. Well, he wants to send the responsibility back to the states, and the whole time, who's here? Elon Musk trying to buy the favor of the right. states. So it's a lose-lose situation. Either way you go, isn't it?
It seems to be, Ella. I'm glad my kids are through the school system right now.
So am I, man.
And sending it to the states, and we'll, I guess we should get to that topic, Earl. This executive order by Donald Trump to dismantle or somehow take, do away with the Department of Education. The AP has a little bit of story on a little bit on this. The White House said that the Education Secretary Linda McMahon, it's hard to take her seriously. I mean, will be directed to facilitate the department's closure while, quote, continuing to ensure the effective and uninterrupted delivery of services, programs, and benefits on which Americans rely. Well, it's easy to write that down, Earl, but if you axe half of your department, you got to assume there's going to be some interruption of delivery of services, programs, and benefit. You can't tell me half of the people were doing nothing and there will be no impact.
Well, Dominic, it's really what's behind all of this. And, it doesn't take, you don't have to think too hard to understand the whole purpose for it is to dismantle public education. And to, again, give an upper hand to private education. And it really is heartbreaking because I've always said, and I'll say it once, I said it 1,000 times, I'm supporting where the majority of the children are, Dominic. They're in public education. Yeah. I'm not opposed to private education and those kinds of things, but it would be foolish to dismantle public education where the majority of the American children are and who are going to grow up to be adults and run the nation. Why would you destroy that, man? Tell me how that makes some sense, Dominic.
Well, so they could take that money and stick it into the private education sector. Here's the thing, man. I went to a private high school, a public grade school up through eighth grade, went to a private high school. I also have no problem with private high school education, but you pay for it. You want it? Pay for it. Like my parents paid for it. They made the sacrifices to do that. They made that determination. Now, these public schools, in doing so, if you take away money and put it away from public into private, is there a downside? Is it like firing half the staff at a department and think you're going to get the same services? Of course there's an impact to that. Of course there is. And I don't want, my tax dollars going to, let's call it, indoctrination of young children to religious ideologies, like saying, the earth is 6,000 years old. I think you do a disservice to the children when you bring that kind of nonsense into the classroom. So no, I got a big problem with that, man. We've got two... the program here in the state of Wisconsin, man, unfunded mandate. How many hundreds of millions of dollars are being spent? So yeah, I get, and if that's how it's going to be, then how important? If all this comes to the state, how important is this next election of Dr. Jill Underley for Wisconsin's DPI director? You know what I'm saying? How important is it to have Governor Evers as our governor or a Democratic governor going forward? If all of a sudden the states are going to direct all this money, oh my God. We could imagine if we had Scott Walker back in as governor, where would he direct that money to? If we got a guy like Speaker Mike Johnson, who religiously believes apparently the earth is 6,000 years old, good luck. Welcome to the indoctrination. Welcome to the churn. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. More of your calls.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Judge Brad Schimel surrounds himself with extremists. He's supported by national and state anti-abortion organizations because he opposes abortion rights. But don't take my word for it. Hear it from Schimel himself. When asked about abortion, he said,
"We have to shut this down.
We have to shut this down.
When asked about Wisconsin's abortion ban, which doesn't include exceptions for rape, incest, or help of the mother.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is flawed about that law? What is flawed about that law?
Brad Schimmel takes the side of extremists and would place politicians in charge of decisions that individuals should be making. By taking the side of extremists, he's not listening to Wisconsin residents. Tell Judge Brad Schimmel, keep extremist politics out of our court decisions. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegyl is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-75, pardon me, 855-752-4842, 855-75-7. I got Just PS on the board, Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show joining me today till 6 o'clock. You can check his show out, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Department of Education. I guess they're getting rid of it. We don't need no stinking Department of Education.
Never did you no good, did it?
Especially in books. They was those books was the worst. Mm-hmm. The AP, real quickly. What does the Department of Education do? What would you say you do here? Here's what the AP, a couple of brief highlights from the AP. So apparently the Department of Education manages approximately $1.5 trillion in student loan debt for over 40 million borrowers, easy for me to say. It also oversees the Pell Grant, which provides aids to students below a certain income threshold. Oh, I can see why they want to get rid of that. What else does the Department of Education do? Oh, here's another thing so righties really don't like. Civil rights enforcement. Through its Office for Civil Rights, the Education Department conducts investigations and issues guidance on how civil rights law should be applied, pardon me, such as for LGBTQ plus students and students of color. The office also oversees a large data collection project that tracks disparities in resources, course access, and discipline for students of different racial and socioeconomic groups. Oh, can't have that. If you find out that the black kids are getting punished more harshly than the white kids, or the disabled kids are getting punished more harshly than the white kids, well, that'd be bad for us. So let's get rid of that, right? What's the problem there? You got a problem tracking those things? Come on, people. College accreditation. While the education department does not directly accredit colleges and universities, it oversees the system by reviewing all federally recognized accrediting agencies. Institutions of higher education must be accredited to gain access to the federal money for student financial aid. Oh, what was that? What was that one university that was a total scam and they got fined? Oh, yeah, Trump University.
Trump University.
Yeah, that one. I remember that. The guy that's in the White House right now. Thank you, MAGA. Money for schools. Much of the education department's money for K-12 schools goes through large federal programs such as Title I for low-income schools and the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Those programs support services for students with disabilities, lower class sizes with additional teaching positions, and pay for social workers and other non-teaching roles in school. Now, Trump has called for shifting those programs to the state, Project 2025, so they should put it to HHS. anyway, there's some of the items, some of the responsibilities of the Department of Education. Obviously, lots of money there. What is the point? Why are we doing this? Oh, yeah, tax breaks for the wealthy. But let's take some more calls. 855.
So, Dominic.
Yes, go ahead.
Before I lose this thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the same time, I think it's in Oklahoma or a couple states like that where they're mandating that the Ten Commandments and the Bible be taught in schools. You remember that?
I do, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Come on, man. Come on. And so now you're doing away. And so now the freedom to move those dollars into you know, schools that clearly have a bent on Christian education.
Mm-hmm.
In a nation that swears to not be that.
And which Christian education, man? The Lutherans are different from the Catholics. They're different from the Protestants. I mean, are you sure? Was Mary a virgin? You know, are we going to have this conversation? I want to know. Can you put it on the board? Was Mary a virgin or not? Or was she just a woman that really stuck to her story?
Oh, man.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. I said it, 855-752-4842. Because it's not education, man. That's not education.
That's indoctrination.
Hey, yes, you want to, if you're going to do that, then you got to do everything. I want to know about Thor.
Yes.
I want to know about Odin's raven, man. I want to know all about the Hindu gods.
There were two ravens.
There were two ravens. What? See? This is blowing my mind. Two ravens? Odin had two ravens?
Two ravens.
That's blasphemy.
Throw your pen at me.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, when do we stop this? So this is a terrible idea. But yes, to your point, Earl. Yeah, those folks are going to be what? They're going to get dollars, and the states can do whatever they want. If that's the case, there is no consistent education, you know, kind of form. Shouldn't we have that? I mean, I think we should. I think those children that are going to be indoctrinated and bent into some of those lines of things, it does them a disservice. Because when you get older and all of a sudden you realize that maybe you question some of that faith that was poured into you, again, you know, it's part of the culture. You get that. You know, how does a 6,000-year-old earth match with the science? You know, the scientific process that brought us everything that we have, the computers and the technology, everything, man. Go ahead, man.
You use a verbiage. You use some verbiage. Faith.
Hmm.
You didn't say facts. Don't get me started. Hey, okay. So what your faith is your faith.
Right on.
And you have a right to that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a right to force it on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care who I disappoint in that frame of reference, but it's just factual, man.
Right on.
Your faith and your beliefs are yours, and that's where it lies. Just don't force them on me. If you're going to force them on children, you do a disservice to what this nation supposedly stands
for. And if you
want
to force it on your kids, do it on your own dime. That's my thing. You want to have private religious education, pay for it, like my parents did. 855-752.
And like I did for my son, right.
855-752-4842. Ron from Kenosha, you are next. Welcome, Ron. Thank you for calling. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. You know, one of the things I keep thinking about is every time I hear you talk about this, the ability of parents to take their public school funds and send them to private schools,
mm-hmm.
I think the amount of money any parent should be able to divert to a private school should be limited to no more than the amount that parent pays in taxes. If you have one kid, you get to spend the whole amount. You got two kids, you split it between them. But my tax dollars should not be able to be diverted to go fund education in these goofball private schools.
Ron, thank you so much. I absolutely agree. I'd like to stop paying my tax dollars to the war machine and put it more towards cannabis research. Can I take that money and direct it myself, please? That'd be nice. We can't do that in other places. Why are we doing it there? Come back with us, 855-752-4842. More of your calls, plus, where are the Dems at, yo? Come back with us.
The
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. It's Fix-A-Leak Week, and Joanne Krulatz tells us why that's important.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is highlighting the importance of preventing household water waste and practicing water conservation in recognition of the Environmental Protection Agency's Fix-A-Leak Week. Fix-A-Leak Week is the perfect time to fix any leaks you've been putting off. Household leaks can waste more than 1 trillion gallons of water annually nationwide, costing consumers millions of dollars. By fixing household leaks promptly, consumers can save water and money and prevent damage to their floors, furniture, and possessions. To make it easy for residents, the EPA's Fix-A-Leak Week webpage provides guidance on detecting and fixing the most common household leaks. These helpful steps can get you started. Check for leaks in your home, business, or workplace. Use the EPA's Detect and Chase Down Leaks at Home checklist. Start toilet and faucet repairs with helpful information from the Fix-A-Leak webpage. Learn how to replace your shower head with a video from WaterSense. Don't be afraid to consult a plumbing professional to help you get your leaks fixed or old fixtures replaced with more efficient models. Household leaks aren't the only places where water can be wasted. Large business operations like dairy and agricultural operations can also experience leaks. These leaks can quickly amount to a lot of water, so prompt repair can help businesses save money and boost their bottom lines. For additional information about water use in your home or business, visit the DNR's Water Conservation and Efficiency webpage. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the film The Gorge on Apple TV, and I referred to it as not a great movie, but a great streaming movie that you can watch at home. The same applies for the film Elevation. It's yet another post-apocalyptic film where giant insect-type creatures emerge from the middle of the earth and wipe out 95% of the population, leaving only those who live in the mountains above 8,000 feet due to the fact that the creatures cannot survive at that altitude. The film is well-cast, well-acted, and has some pretty harrowing moments as star Anthony Mackie has to descend below 8,000 feet in search of inhalers for his son who has asthma. Not a bad watch, and I do recommend. For those of you eagerly awaiting season 4 of Ted Lasso, if your favorite character was Lasso's son Henry, you'll be disappointed to know that the show will recast the role played by Gus Turner, who played the role for 3 seasons. On the bright side, if you're an actor and can pull off playing a 12-year-old, this could be your big breakthrough. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Looking mostly cloudy for tomorrow, maybe a shower or two in the afternoon, highs to the upper 40s. Then we're back into sun Saturday, cooler, highs upper 30s to 40. Rain and snow possible Sunday. Right now it's 33.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Friday's show, Dr. Ryan Burns joins us from Bell and Sports Medicine. New Denmark Brewing and Distillery stop by for the top craft pick promotion, and we'll feature live music courtesy of Heights Pub and Parlor. Join us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. working hard on the board, joined today by co-host Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. Check him out Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Love it when we get to hang out with Earl. It's the only time I really get to see you, man. It's a hard time to get together on the weekend, so appreciate our time together here, Earl. We're talking about the Department of Education. Donald Trump signed an executive order to dismantle a congressional created cabinet. I don't quite understand how this whole thing works, but apparently, you know, if you're Donald Trump and you have executive orders, you can do anything you want. 855-752-4842. Let's get some callers. They have been very patient. Paul from the interstate. Be safe out there, Paul. You are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello. I have one question. Seeing that the Department of Education has been dismantled, does that include loan payments back for?
Yeah, I like the way you're thinking, Paul. I mean, I really would love to pay the bill, but I don't know where to send it to. Paul, I highly doubt that would be the case. Although I would love it to be the case, especially given the way that this administration has so haphazardly gone after everything, and then they're losing in court cases left and right because, of course, these executive orders don't carry the weight that Donald Trump wants them to. You know, separation of powers and all that. Congress is in charge, and the Donald Trump doesn't get to impound the money. I know they think they can, and maybe they'll make that case go to the Supreme Court. But if Congress allocates the funds, and then the executive branch can just put them in their pocket and not spend the funds as directed by Congress, then Congress really doesn't have the power of the purse. So, Paul, I wouldn't doubt it, given how these guys are, like, oh, we're going to get rid of that department. All of a sudden, it goes offline, and all of a sudden, your auto deducts out of your checking account to pay for your loans, they just don't work anymore. I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't bank on it, Paul. Thanks for playing, man. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Let's go, Paul. You will be next. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Our government's being dismantled, for goodness sakes, and the Republicans say nothing. I mean, does somebody in Congress or the Senate have to stand up and they're not?
Well, I think a lot of these folks, they're down for it, Paulie. That's why, man, they're down. They don't want, come on, you're worried about minorities and disabled kids and, you know, everyone getting equal access to education. Education, man, let the states decide it. And you just happen to be one of those minority groups, well, you're on your own. And the last thing the Republicans want are a bunch of woke-ass kids, you know, challenging their authority.
Well, these programs were put together for a reason, to make this country better. And if you dismantle all this like they're hell-bent on doing, if you ever do get a different administration, how are you going to put this all back together again? Because we're 2 years away from elections, or at least 2 years away. Hey, to me, this election coming up April 1st for the Supreme Court justice, that's a big deal. We'll see what way that goes. But this is a mess now. I don't know, Earl, how are you going to put this back together? Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Paul. It's like Humpty Dumpty, Earl. I mean, what happens if this continues on? Do you think it would be, I mean, you can't, if a Democratic president administration comes on, or hell, even if Trump loses the Congress, you know, how he's not going to sign anything, right? So you're not going to get any new laws passed and signed by Trump. Unless he continues to lose these court cases, which I imagine he will, and I can't imagine that the Supreme Court's going to say, yes, Donald Trump can unilaterally dismantle, these, you know, departments that Congress created.
You know, Dominic, he's already dismantled many of them, and even though he's forced to put some things back, they aren't what they ever were before he got a hold of them. So he's put his footprint on these things already. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how, even though the justices are voting against him, in the long run, he's still done some major damage. And it's only been 2 months, man. Hey, man, that, you know, that's the amazing thing to me, Dominic. It's only been 2 months. And the other part of this is he's assembled his team. While we're talking about this stuff, his team is busy, man, doing some real damage.
Well, they're busy getting their ass handed to them in court. I mean, there is damage being done. There are changes, and he does have authority as president. You can't deny the executive branch. He has authority with those executive orders to impact some, you know, federal employees. But with that, no doubt about it. But, you know, there are limitations to it, and just because you write it down and you send it out and you sign it with your big fat Sharpie doesn't make it true. It doesn't, man. You are not a king. These are not edicts that people must handle or off with their head. That's not how it works. I know that's how he wants it to work. And I know a lot of you Republicans wish it would be that way. And I would warn you that, yeah, you wish it would be that way because you don't think you're the one going to be losing your head. But it invariably it comes to that, man. Sooner or later, you cross the king. Unless you're the jester like me, you're going to lose. 855-752-4842. How big is the Department of Justice, according to Time.com? 4,200 employees last September, according to the Office of Personnel Management. This accounts for 0.2% of overall federal employment last year, the smallest staff of the 15 cabinet agencies.
The smallest staff, the Justice Department.
The smallest staff of the 15 cabinet agencies. Department of Education. Did I say Justice? I'm sorry. Let me restate that.
The Department of Education
has 4,200 employees as of last September, counted for 0.2% of overall federal employment last year, and it's the smallest staff of the 15 cabinet agencies. Thank you for the correction, folks.
But you also know, Dominic, again, you knew something was up when, what is her name, McMahon, the person that he appointed to do this job, and his response and what he said about her was, she's a great businesswoman. Okay, man. If that's what we're looking for in all of this, Dominic, just great business people?
I mean, no. I mean, not me.
That's some horrible business. Some horrible business people. Donald Trump being one himself. But for all those people who have been led to believe that business people would be the best thing, for our government, you see it, man. People have been clamoring for it for a long time, Dominic. Many people on the right have been saying the same thing over and over again. We need to run the government like a business. No, we don't.
We need to run the government like a business, so we need to make some profit. We need to screw the customers. We need to stick it to our suppliers.
Squeeze the bottom.
Squeeze the bottom line. We need to do some stock buybacks. And, you know, and if we can manipulate the market a little bit for a little extra money.
Hey, weren't they doing that today?
You got to wonder. 855-752-4842, 855-75 Civic. Brian from Milwaukee, you will be next. Welcome, Brian. What do you got for us?
Hey, you know, I'm just wondering with the cuts to the Department of Education, I was thinking when I wanted to go to college, my parents said, you want to go to college? That's great, but you have to pay your way. Will the cuts affect like FAFSA and, you know, student loans and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, thank you for the call, Brian. I think there's like $1.6 trillion of the loans and 40 million. Yeah. I mean, there's someone's going to have to administer that, right? So of the people that are still there, perhaps that will still be there. And yeah, you're probably going to still have to make your loan payments. And again, this is, you know, I guess a reorganization, not necessarily a cut. Because again, this money's already been allocated by Congress. You know, the last continuing resolution. I know Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about Congress's powers. But you know, there still is money that has to be allotted for and accounted for. So now whether that ultimately gets distributed through other agencies, you know, those are kind of workarounds you can do. So that dollar amount shouldn't in my opinion, necessarily change, but certainly the services and the process could totally do that. Thanks for the call, Brian. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Steve from Milwaukee, you are next. Welcome, Steve. What are your thoughts today?
Hey, I was just told that I have to say something nice. So I did have my corned beef last night for leftovers with a Reuben sandwich. You got to have that Thousand Island dressing.
So good, oh, man, so good, so good. Do you have any cabbage too? I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, yep, cabbage, a little bit of onion.
Yeah. Oh, you're getting me hungry, man. All right.
And some little baby potatoes you roast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the baby potatoes. Man, you got any leftovers, Mike? You want to bring them down to the studio? I'll get you a beer, man.
This guy has no shame.
I told him to say something good. I said it could be what he had for dinner last night. Yeah.
That's my fault. I only have enough for one.
All right.
I'll have to make a new one for you.
All right. You can owe me, Steve. Well, appreciate you sharing, man. What do you got for us?
Oh, I was just calling to say that it's pretty obvious Trump is a Russian asset. I mean, his first move was ending USAID and then removing our country from the WHO and, you know, the CDC and all these other agencies. But
yeah.
It's just it's really sad. And it's amazing that there's so many people out there who are cheering this on.
Yeah, Steve, it is. It is sad, and not only certainly the acts of those things, and what is, you know, what is the motivation, right? Is he a Russian asset? Well, we've got lots of folks that think that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We've had those conversations with friends of ours, Matt Flynn specifically. He's not shy. But whether or not he is or isn't, what his motivations are, certainly these actions that this administration are taking are more positive for the Putin regime than it is for NATO, for Europe, for us, for that matter. The USAID, the soft power, we're just not going to do that anymore. So that gap will get filled by what, the Chinese and the Russians eventually? I mean,
that's not
great. But appreciate it, Steve. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Trump administration. Let's put it that way. 855-752-4842. Cam from Appleton, you are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, so with all these, programs and departments in shambles, I'm being left with the thought that I'm going to make bank, right? Because all these taxes coming back to me, I'm going to be loaded. So what I've been doing is filling out these applications. Oh, hear me out.
Okay.
I had this buddy of mine named Chris who had a daughter named Jackie, and they ended up dying in this horrific accident where it had something to do with a car and a compactor. It was terrible. And what I'm looking to do is get these, their favorite place to dine was this joint called the Peppermint Hippo. And I'm looking to get their, these urinal cakes or ashtrays or chairs with these engravings on them that say CJ, liquid in a bowl of oatmeal.
Cam, come on, man.
Cam, that's unhinged.
Keep me hanging that long for that, man. Time is money, man. Thanks for playing. 855-752-4842. Don from Milwaukee, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I want your expert opinion. I got my absentee ballot the other day. And I was sailing along pretty good till I got to this doggone yes or no question, a referendum, and I'd like to have a little opinion of yours of which way I should go on it. It's about that whether that photo ID should be put into the Constitution.
Gotcha. Don, I would say no! No, come on, man. We don't need that in the Constitution. Anytime Republicans are offering any amendments regarding amending the Constitution about anything, the answer should be no. Thanks for calling, though.
Emphatically.
855-752-4842. One final segment with me, Earl Ingram, Jess P.S. on the board. But talk about what you want to talk about, but you got to start out by telling us something good. End the day with a smile on our face. Join us, 855-752-4842.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's actually a mom and her son out on a superhero adventure. Calling all superheroes, March 21st at 5:30 p.m. at the Oshkosh YMCA. You can join in for an action-packed evening, making your very own cape, zooming through amazing obstacle courses, and dancing like no one's watching. There's going to be pizza, prizes, and unforgettable memories. So up, up, and away to WISS.FM and click events to find out more.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillmank Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Join the love train, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up with something good, then we'll talk about whatever topics you want to discuss. Earl Ingram Jr., Jess P.S., and you folks on the line. I'm going to do it. CJ, man, hey, thanks for calling, CJ. I know you got lots to say, but. You got to start out by telling us something good, and then we'll talk about your topic.
It's 75 degrees in Naples, Florida.
Oh, man, that is good. All right. I'm a little jealous. I was there a few weeks ago, and it was beautiful as well. So, all right, man, playing along. What do you got for us, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dom and Earl. And, Earl, good to talk to you. Every once in a while, you take my call. But, this is a great thing. The Department of Education is failing our kids. Read our test scores, Dom. Read our test scores for fourth graders and eighth graders.
And who at the Department of Education, if I may, then, CJ, the Department of Education, they administer lots of, like, student loans, right? Are you okay with that?
Well, yeah, but I want him to pay him back, unlike the former president who three times went constitutionally to the Supreme Court.
So how about executive orders to eliminate a department created by Congress? Do you believe that's constitutional?
When we're failing them the way you...
No, whether or not we're failing them or victorious or however you define it. It's not about the failure or lack of failure or success, CJ. It's about whether or not an executive order signed by your president can eliminate a department created by Congress. You're so concerned about Joe Biden's unconstitutional student loan forgiveness. What do you say about your president's unconstitutional executive orders to eliminate the Department of Education?
Just the way Joe Biden went to the Supreme Court and fought for votes and cheating and not allowing taxpayers to pay for the student loans, this president's going to go to the Supreme Court and get a judgment on this. And we're failing.
So okay, so I want to be clear. So you think, I want to be clear. You think then, I guess we'll move on. You believe that the executive orders from Donald Trump to eliminate congressional departments is constitutional. Thank you for that. Have a great night, CJ. 855-752-4842. Joy from Green Bay, you are up. Tell us something good, Joy. Welcome. What do you got?
Oh, I've got, well, he took the weather thing, which is pretty cool, but it's still really nice out, and it's not snowing. So,
yay! Yay, right.
Although I like the snow, so.
Me
anyway,
too.
I'm disagreeing. Well, I don't think it's out there enough. I talked to a few people who don't really understand that voting thing. A woman or a gentleman was on asking about it. They don't understand that it's law already, that you have to have an ID to vote. You
right.
have to. That's just how it is. But this putting it into the Constitution, man, alive, I'm a female, and it's, I get married. I don't have the same last name on my birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're pushing for. They've been talking about it all the time. It's under the breath, hush, hush, shush, whatever. But it's out there. And people need to hear more about this constitutional thing. I mean, no, but no, that is, this is wrong. And CJ can go kick rocks. So.
Thank you, Joey. Appreciate it. I concur. Vote no. Vote no. I mean, come on, this is it's already a law, and you know the technology is going to continue to change. I mean, at some point we're gonna have to give a DNA sample to vote. I mean, is that where we're going? I mean,
that is the path.
An eye scan. I mean, how? Because it will ultimately it will change. I mean, back in the day it was, you know, X marks the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to have a picture, and in 100 years from now it's gonna be something different. 855-752-4842. We don't mess around with the Constitution lightly. The original Claire OC, what's up, girl? Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom, I got another silly joke for you guys.
All right, lay it on us.
What do you call a guy that's hiding in the bushes?
Sean Spicer.
Spicer. what do you call a guy hiding in the bushes? Russell. Spicy Spicer. I mean, I literally, we had one of those and we put it in the bushes. It was funny. Or it could have been Homer from The Simpsons.
Uh-huh,
thank you, Claire.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. Jess, you got anything good you want to share?
I do. Last night, I unplugged from the news.
What?
I know. It was amazing. It was restorative. It was incredible. I played video games. I killed undead things.
Yes.
I smacked them really hard.
Save the world, baby.
I saved the world.
That's what I'm saying.
I had a kitty curled up with me. It was excellent. It was perfect.
It's a good night. How about you, Earl? You got anything you want to share? Something to end the day on a positive note, my friend?
Yeah, man. Tomorrow morning is Friday.
Yeah, man.
I hope to be able to participate in tomorrow.
We're still alive, man. Hey, Earl, I'm rooting for you, man.
All right, Tom, you're up.
All right. So I got good news and bad news. I'll start with the bad news.
Okay.
The bad news is I finished all my Girl Scout peanut butter sandwich cookies. That's the bad news. It was really tough. The good news is I have a whole box of peanut butter patties. to dive into. There's peanut butter on the mind, man. So, folks, have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Earl, man. Always love hanging out with you, my friend. Earl Ingram, check him out tomorrow if he's still alive and kicking, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Jess P.S., for all the hard work. As always, you're a fine producer. And thank you to our fair audience for playing along. Come back tomorrow. James Santel, we're going to get caught up on the legalese of what's going on. I swear to God, we're going to get to who's in charge over at the Dem side. I don't know. We got lots of folks who are potential candidates for that new leadership, if there is some. So stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. Have a great evening. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
We're talking about Trump tariffs as well as other news for Wisconsin with Dr. Kristen Lierley in the first hour. Hari Kundabolu is our guest in the second hour, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the Machine Shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod, or try our bone-in seasoned catfish lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the Machine Shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the Shed.
Fox River Drive, Appleton.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Education Department on track to be dismantled. President Trump signing an executive order, putting the closure in motion. It still needs an act of Congress. ABC's Selena Wang with more.
The department laid off about 50% of its staff last week, but the president today reassuring Americans that some of the key programs from the department will remain intact and that it's going to be absorbed into other federal agencies. The president saying that funding for special education, for high poverty schools, and Pell grants for low-income students would be preserved.
In Los Angeles, family members of Lyle and Eric Menendez calling on District Attorney Nathan Hochman to support resentencing following the murders of their parents in 1989. Hochman told ABC News he would only reconsider if the brothers admitted to what he called lies about the case. On this International Day of Happiness, Finland tops the list for the eighth straight year as the happiest place on Earth, the first time the U.S. fell to the top 20. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.